So my name is Dustin Curry. I am in the Program for Injury Prevention, Education, and Research at the Colorado School of Public Health, and I work with Don Comstock on the High School Rio study. So a lot of what Karen said is going to be repeated here, so I apologize for that. I do not have any relationships to disclose for this project. And I would like to acknowledge my collaborators, Sarah Fields, Michael Patterson, and Don Comstock on this project. So high school cheerleading is growing in popularity, but it's very difficult to estimate actual population numbers because there's different, at the state level, there's different categorizations for whether or not cheerleading is considered a sport or an activity. So at the NFHS, the National Federation of State High School Associations, they've attempted to estimate the number of cheerleaders participating in general in high schools, and the most recent estimate was around 400,000, but that's over a decade old, so we don't have any more recent data on that. But we also now have a category called competitive spirit at the NFHS, which is considered a sport universally, so we do have participation numbers that are fairly accurate for that classification, about 123,386 participants in 2014-15. And as I mentioned, classification of cheerleading is controversial. There are about 30 states now that consider cheerleading a sport. California was the most recent one. They're going to change that classification in 2017-18. And there's many things that depend on whether or not cheerleading is considered a sport, and I'll get a little more into that at the end of the presentation. And there's relatively limited research on general cheerleading injury epidemiology. We heard a little bit about some of the studies that have already been done earlier in this session, but they didn't use similar methods to other sports, so you couldn't directly compare the cheerleading rates in those studies to other sports. So one study that got a lot of attention was a catastrophic injury research study that showed that 65% of catastrophic injuries to female athletes at the high school age level were to cheerleaders. So that's a huge number. Well over half of all catastrophic injuries were to cheerleaders. So this led to significant safety concerns. So cheerleading was added to High School Rio, which is the injury surveillance tool that Karen's group now uses and that we also use. So that was added in the 2009-2010 academic year with the support from the NFHS. So now that we can directly compare cheerleading rates to other sports using this injury surveillance system, we decided to undertake this study to describe injury rates and patterns in high school cheerleading, to compare injury rates and patterns by type of exposure, so that's competition or practice or performances, and also to compare injury rates and patterns in high school cheerleading to other sports. And the main focus of this talk will be the third bullet point, so comparing injury rates in cheerleading to other sports. So again, I'll try to go through this fast because I know we've already talked about High School Rio. So it's a surveillance data collection tool utilized by the National High School Sports Related Injury Surveillance Study, and it's based on the NCAA system to enhance comparability, although the NCAA system doesn't currently collect data on cheerleading, so we can't compare high school to NCAA for this sport. We currently have 22 sports that we collect data on. That's shifted a little bit over time, and as I mentioned, in 2009-10, that was the first year that cheerleading was added. So we have an average of 107 schools each year reporting cheerleading data, and that ranged from 70 the first year that we added it to 147 in more recent years. So definitions, we've already heard this twice now. The athletic exposure is one athlete participating in one practice, competition, or performance. And the performance category is limited to cheerleading in High School Rio. So what differentiates a competition from a performance is whether the athlete is cheering on the sideline or at halftime in support of another sport at their school. We consider that a performance exposure, or whether they're actually competing as a cheerleading squad against other cheerleaders, and that's considered a competition. And injuries, we only collect time loss injuries, so each athlete had to have been removed from participation for at least one day, with the exception of fractures, concussions, which we shouldn't have any returning the same day now, but heat illnesses and injuries or dental injuries. They also had to require medical attention and occur during an organized exposure. So results, these are cheerleading injury rates stratified by exposure type. So we have 5 years of data now, so not a lot to compare trends over time. And you can see that there aren't any significantly different trends over time here, but the performance rate does consistently happen to be lower than the competition and practice rates in cheerleading. And cheerleading is also fairly unique in that practice rate and competition rates are fairly similar. In most sports, the competition rate is a lot higher than the practice rate. 96.8% of injured athletes in our study were females, so we considered cheerleading a co-ed sport, but almost all injured athletes were females. However, the injury rate for males was actually higher than females, and significantly so, about twice as high. And this is a table of ranking sports by injury rate. So these are all 22 sports that we currently collect data on, and this is practices and competitions combined. So you can see boys football is kind of an outlier there at number one. And then the B means boys and the G means girls. So you can see the different rates based on the different sports. But the main message here is that cheerleading ranks 18th of the 22 sports that we collect data on overall in injury rates. So that's a rate of 0.71 injuries per 1,000 athlete exposures. And in terms of stratifying by exposure type, as I mentioned earlier, the competition and practice injury rates in cheerleading are fairly similar compared to most sports. So it ranked 19th of the 22 sports that we collect data on in competitions with a rate of 0.85 per 1,000 athlete exposures. But in terms of practices, it actually ranked slightly higher comparably, a rate of 0.76 per 1,000 athlete exposures. And we would expect this because in cheerleading, they have to practice the things that they're going to be doing in competition or performance, whereas in some other sports like football and ice hockey, contact sports, sometimes contact is limited during practice, so we expect to see those differences in injury rates. So overall, the injury rate in cheerleading compared to all other sports combined was significantly lower. You can see the rate ratio there is 0.37. And when compared to all other girl sports combined, the rate was also significantly lower, 0.49. It was slightly closer, but still very statistically significant. You can see the 95% confidence interval is 0.46 to 0.53. However, cheerleading did have the second highest proportion of severe injuries, so we categorized severe injuries in this study as being at least 3 weeks time loss. So when cheerleading injuries are happening, it seems like they may be more severe than in some other sports. Gymnastics had the first highest, so they're sort of similar, similar types of activities in some cases. So, but the surgery proportion didn't differ at all between cheerleading and other sports. So this is specifically in time loss. And a note about concussions. Concussions were the most common cheerleading injury reported, so almost a third of injuries reported to our surveillance system in cheerleading were concussions. However, again, when we combine cheerleading concussion rates to all other sports combined, we find that cheerleading actually had a significantly lower concussion rate. And even when comparing to all other girls' sports combined, you can see the rate of cheerleading concussions was significantly lower. One thing to note, though, is that practice concussion rates relative to other sports in cheerleading were quite high. So cheerleading was ranked third after only football and wrestling in terms of practice concussion rates. So overall, we found that cheerleading injury rates are lower than those in other sports at the high school level. However, when injuries do occur, they may be more severe than in other sports. So that's based on our time loss data and also based on the catastrophic and emergency department studies that have been done showing that cheerleading is in some ways more dangerous than other sports in terms of catastrophic injuries. So, and then one other note, that relative to other sports, practice concussion rates are actually relatively high in cheerleading, so that's one potential place that we could try to develop some intervention upon. So areas for prevention, as I said earlier, whether or not cheerleading is categorized as a sport has implications with coaching certification as well as safe practice space. So according to the NFHS, there are now 32 states with competitive spirit, which is a marker for how many states consider cheerleading a sport, which is actually a much more difficult question to get an answer to than you might expect. And as I mentioned earlier, California was the most recent state. So there are lots of things that can be affected by whether or not cheerleading is considered a sport at the state level. One, as I mentioned here, is safe practice space. So if cheerleading is considered a sport, they're required to be provided with a safe practice space by the high school, and they're not practicing in hallways or places that are inappropriate and that likely increase injury risk. Another thing is coaching certifications. So if the state considers cheerleading a sport, the coach is required to be certified and is required to be present at all practices and competitions. Whereas if cheerleading isn't considered a sport at the state level, there's no requirement that a coach be present, even though the AACCA, the American Academy of Cheerleading Coaches, has their own rules about that, regardless of whether or not the state considers cheerleading a sport. At the high school level, it's required when it is considered a sport. So some limitations of this study, there's some lack of clarity in the exposure type. So we can't look at level of competitiveness. So while we can look at practices versus competitions versus performances, it would be nice to have even more specific exposures, such as like, what are the exposures for stunting? What are the exposures for pyramids, jumps, tumbling, all of those things. So we don't really know if perhaps stunts, like per time a cheerleader does a stunt, they could have the highest injury rate of all sports ever. We just don't have refined enough exposure data at this point to look at that. We also are limited by schools reporting to High School Rio requiring to have an athletic trainer. So we know that not every school in America has an athletic trainer, and in order to be part of this study, they needed to. So it needs to be interpreted with caution when you're trying to extrapolate these results to all American high schools. And then future research, one thing that the cheerleading community is really interested in seeing is if we compare state-level injury data based on whether or not cheerleading is a sport at that point, so doing pre-post comparisons before and after the sport categorization and comparing across states based on that categorization. We should also compare cheerleading injury rates to other sports across the high school and collegiate age continuum. And as was mentioned earlier, younger age groups too. It's great to look at the middle school level, and there's a lot of cheerleading going on below the high school level, so it'd be great to know more what's happening there. So thank you very much. I'd be happy to take questions, or we're not doing questions right now.